We're going to start the day talking about politics. Summer is supposed to be a slow time for political news, but that is certainly not the case this year. There were some major headlines this week. There were conflicting court rulings pertaining to the Affordable Care Act. There was more debate over the handling of child migrants. And Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, a potential contender for the presidency in 2016, announced a new plan for fighting poverty.
What do we want? We want a healthy economy. And a big part of that is having a safety net that is strong, both for those who cannot help themselves and for those who need just a helping hand to get up and going in life.
Joining us to talk about these and other political stories of the week are two of our trusted analysts, both former White House insiders. Ron Christie is a former assistant to Vice President Dick Cheney and President George W. Bush. He's now a Republican strategist, communications advisor, and author. Also with us is Corey Elans. He's a former communications advisor to the Obama administration. He's now a senior vice president at Vox Global. Welcome back to you both. Thanks for coming.
Pleasure to see you.
Good to be here.
So let's start with that poverty plan that Paul Ryan outlined yesterday. It includes expanding the earned income tax credit for people without children and an idea to make that tax credit potentially more useful by allowing people to get the benefit of it throughout the year instead of in a lump sum at tax time. He also wants to combine a number of safety net programs. He says this will streamline the delivery of safety net benefits. Ron Haskins of the Brookings Institution, which is a center-left think tank, said his plan shows courage. So, Corey, I'm going to start with you, because that's one of the things that Democrats have been particularly critical about Republicans, that they say that they have are very insensitive when it comes to the issue of poverty. They don't care. What do you make of it?
Well, when you take a look at the Ryan plan, it's a classic good news, bad news. The good news is all the things that you outlined, expanding the program to make sure individuals who are in poverty have a chance to get that leg up that they need. And also, this is very much in line with what the Obama administration has put forward as far as their plans to expand EITC. So that is great. The bad news is how he wants to pay for it. And he wants to pay for it two ways, or in multiple ways. One is by taking all of these old programs, these old social programs, and getting rid of them and using those funds to fund the program. The other thing he wants to do is to take a bunch of these programs, block grant those plans, and send them to the states. Now, on one hand, we don't know if any of that is going to be enough to pay for this ultimately. And two, sending programs to the states is analogous to the states having an opportunity to decide if they're going to take on Obamacare or not.
What's wrong with that, though? I mean, the fact that states are the primary deliverers of these kinds of benefits. So
the challenge is that some of these states may decide, you know what, I don't think we're going to do what the federal government is asking us to do with these funds. I think we're going to slow walk it or do nothing. And so it makes the distribution of these resources very uneven. And basically, you're subject to the state that you're in as far as what kind of benefits you may ultimately receive. And that's not a good thing.
So Ron, let's do two things. There is substance and then there is tone. And Congressman Ryan, like, frankly, a number of people in leadership positions in the Republican Party, I'm not just talking about the national level, I'm talking about the state and the local level, have often been criticized for speaking about poverty in a way that is racially coded and offensive. So does this fix that? Does this meet the smell test, in your view, for somebody who is really wanting to open up a conversation?
Yes. I mean, I've known Paul Ryan for almost 25 years, and this is nothing new from his trying to find a way to deliver much-needed services to those who are at most at risk in the safety net, while at the same time ensuring that the states are the best laboratories and the best people to dispense these services to people who need them. I was with the chairman yesterday when he made this announcement, and one of the things, picking up on Corey's point, is that this is not just a lump sum block grant to the states. This is a voluntary program. So a state has to decide, do I want to participate? Yes or no. If I decide I want to participate, here's how I'm going to structure my plan. They would submit their plan to the federal government. Then HHS and the delivery system would say, okay, we're going to take the California approach. So the notion that this is some sort of one-size sort of fits-all block grant isn't true.
Well, tell me how the rest of the Republican caucus is responding to this. What are you hearing so far? I understand it's very new, but what are you hearing?
I'm hearing very positive things, and I have to be perfectly honest with you. Looking at what Paul Ryan has done, looking at what Rand Paul is talking about, this is not your old white guy Republican Party anymore. I think the younger leaders in the Republican Party recognize that in order to expand our base, We need to do what is the simplest thing in politics. Politics is about addition, not subtraction. We need to find ways to appeal to people of color. We need to find ways to appeal to people who are of a different socioeconomic background. And we need to actually find a way to get rid of these social issues, these stigmas that have really traumatized us the last couple cycles. So good for them. That's what I'm hearing on the Hill. People are very, very encouraged by this.
Well, speaking about, you know, another issue that's very kind of emotional and touches on a lot of different issues and also is an issue that speaks to the ability of the parties to attract people of different backgrounds, there was more debate over the handling of the tens of thousands of child migrants, mainly from Central America. Governor Martin O'Malley of Maryland, he's a Democrat, a solidly blue state, told the president not to send kids to a particular site there. They're looking for ways to alleviate the kind of the crowding at the border and the conditions there that I think everybody agrees are not suitable for young children. You know, that caused a big kind of upset. On the one hand, people criticizing the president, other people saying that, well, the Democrats don't have clean hands on this either. So just tell me whether you think that, you know, Corey, how you think this issue is playing out. I mean, has the president done enough? And is the criticism directed toward him justified?
I think the president has done everything that he can do within his power at the moment. And I think what he is advocating is for leaders here in Washington to come together with a real solution to this issue. Not just the narrow issue of children at the border, while as serious as that is, we've had 77,000 children and their families who have come to the border from Central American countries this year. The challenge is, how can we do this in a way that matches the values of our country and our appreciation and history of cherishing immigrants?
Okay, but the bottom line is people say the president's just been slow. He's just been slow off the mark. This is not a secret that these kids are here and that they're coming and that there's a problem.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know
that the president has been slow at all, one. And two, we have to appreciate this issue has doubled. We have doubled the number of kids this year than we had this time last year. And so this, again, is not something that the president can singularly do. And then here's the other part. People who lobby those criticisms are at the same time saying that the president shouldn't be executing, using his authority and executive powers to do more. And that's basically what we saw when the president was in Texas talking to the governor there. The governor says, you need to do more. The president says, tell your Republican friends not to sue me so I can do more. Basically,
we're talking politics with our political insiders, two former White House insiders. That's a former Obama administration advisor, Corey Elans, who was speaking just now. Also with us, Republican strategist, former aide in the George W. Bush administration, Ron Christie. So, you know, Ron, challenges on the Republican side as well. As Corey just mentioned, the Texas governor, also presidential hopeful Rick Perry, he wants to send 1,000 National Guardsmen to the border. Mm-hmm. Some state business leaders are discouraging that. How do you feel that your side of the aisle is handling this issue?
Well, I think as well as could be expected. But ultimately, I think this is one that the president has been asleep at the switch. The president has been detached. The president has not been engaged. How can you have, at the end of the fiscal year, when the Bush administration left power, that we had only 8,000 children from Central America coming, and as Corey accurately points out, you know, we have 76,000 here now. We're going to have 92,000 by the end of the year. This is something the administration was warned about 2 years ago and has done nothing to address it. I think Governor Perry is right, not only to put folks from the National Guard on the border, but most importantly,
what are they going to do?
They need to
ensure.
Are
they going to point their guns at little kids?
No, you don't.
What are they going
to do? You need to ensure that you can act as a backdrop to the Border Patrol, who's frankly busy right now changing with diapers and not dealing with people who are trying to come in our country illegally. Of there are folks who are trying to break in our country. There are people who are trying to come. Let's stop them. Let's put a spotlight on this. I think there's a humanitarian crisis, yes, but what gets me so upset about this is the President of the United States, he's going to meet with the president of Honduras and in Guatemala this Friday. And the important thing here is, why hasn't he been speaking to them before and saying, don't send your children here. They're being raped. They're being mistreated. It's a dangerous journey. Don't let them come here.
Very briefly.
Very quickly. Yeah. Again, the president is doing everything he can within his current powers to deal with this situation and looking at a wide range of issues. The meeting that he's having this week with those leaders is important because they have the ability to send signals to their constituency to say, look, this is a futile game. You don't need to send your kids through muck and mire to get to the border and not have a guarantee that you're going to stay there.
We have to address one more issue before we let you go. So I'll start with you, Corey, because I'm going to give Ron the last word here. I gave you the first word, so I'm going to give him the last word today. Two federal circuit courts issued opposite rulings this week about whether subsidies for the Affordable Care Act are legal. Some legal experts assume this will end up before the Supreme Court. With these subsidies in dispute, there's a new GAO report saying that the program is vulnerable to fraud. I mean, do you still count this as a policy success?
Oh, no question. And
because
evidence comes out every week that says this is a policy success. Number one, right now you have more people who have health care than any time in the history of our country. That is a proven fact. The second is we see the laws working. More than $90 billion has been returned to individuals and families as rebates because insurance companies are either have excessive profits or they're not using those funds to actually provide services and insurance to families. So they're getting those rebates. And then you see overall it's helping us to save money. So the program is definitely working. What you see here this week is a classic argument between the letter of the law versus the interpretation of the law. Mm-hmm. The letter of the law says what it says about having that not applying properly so that it can't be used. The interpretation of the law says, of course, the federal government is able to do this and provide these subsidies.
Let me give Ron a chance to weigh in. And finally, I just want to say that NPR is reporting that 57,000 immigrant kids have come since October, not 70,000 plus. I just want to sort of tell you that this is what our reporting says. Ron, final thought for you, is that the Republicans have, there have been dozens of House votes to repeal or defund the program. Is this a fight still worth having on the Republican side?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's, when Corey says that millions more people have coverage, that's right. But there's a difference between having health care coverage and having access to a doctor. You're finding a lot more providers are denying folks on Medicaid the ability to go to see them because, of course, they're not being fully reimbursed by the federal government. This is very important. The very statute says it's a exchange that is run by the states, that it is entitled for people to have subsidies, not the federal government running an exchange. And a far better lawyer, far brighter mind than mine, Lawrence Tribe, said that within a year or more, the Obamacare that we see now won't exist.
Ron Christie is a Republican strategist. Corey Elans is the Senior Vice President at Vox Global. They were both kind enough to join us in our studios in Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, I've appreciated both of your contributions to the program over the years, and thank you both so much. We'll continue talking, perhaps in other venues, so stay with us.
God bless.
Thank you, Michelle.